are dreams just random images fired from an unconscious brain during sleep? Or something much more important, like life-saving inner guidance? How dreams can be healing and early warning tools for disease, financial crisis, or success? And love is still one of the behavioral science's greatest unanswered questions. Hello, I'm your host, author Kat O'Keefe Canavis. Welcome to Dreaming Healing, where dreams and cutting-edge scientific research meet on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Dreaming Healing is every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, when you can call in and ask Kat questions about your amazing dreams. Talk on air. Call toll-free 833-220-1200. That's 833-220-1200. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Good evening, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. I'm the host of Dreaming Healing. I'm your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Canavis, but my friends all call me Kat, so I hope you will too. And you, if you're only listening to this show right now and you'd like to watch it, you can go to my website, The Queen of Dreams. Just type it into Google search and my website will come right up, Kathleen O'Keefe Canavis, because I know that's a big mouthful and it's a hard thing to type in all the time. So The Queen of Dreams, and in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a little button that'll say Dream Vision 7 Radio. Click that. It'll take you to my Dream Vision 7 Radio TV network page, my website on their site, and you'll see a little TV that says YouTube. Click on it, and you get to watch us. So welcome to Mayhem to Miracles number 7, titled Believe. Do miracles still happen? Are they real or just our wishful imagination? Tonight, we're going to speak with 4 Mayhem to Miracles Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope authors who share their stories and answer questions about how to turn abuse, sexual addiction, bullying, and cheating into a miracle. Can we do that? Yes, they did it, so we can too. So grab your box of tissues because you're going to need them and join us as we cry, cringe, and laugh our way through these real life stories of everyday miracles. But first, for those of you who are with me all the time, you know what we're doing now. But for those of you who are new, we're going to do my favorite meditation, in which we're going to take in 3 breaths of deep breaths of life. And we're going to imagine any negativity connecting to that breath of life. And we're going to blow it across the room into the purple flame of Saint Germain, where it's going to be converted into this beautiful golden energy and returned to the universe. That way we're not littering. Then we're going to imagine holding a power gift. And a power gift is anything at all that's powerful to you. It can be a special pencil or pen someone gave you. It can be a piece of jewelry. This is like my mother's wedding ring. So I always consider this my power gift. And when I need that little extra hit of power, I'll squeeze it. And remember, I come from a whole line of female warrior princesses. So I want you to imagine holding your power gift, maybe your flower. I also was given a flower in a dream by my spirit guides. And we're going to create a mirrored bubble around us. And then that is only going to allow that which is of the highest and best to come in. Okay, so if you're driving right now and listening to me, which I know a lot of you are, don't close your eyes. This is still going to work, okay? So what I want you to do is settle down. Feel yourself settling into your chair. If you want to, close your eyes and just feel yourself relaxing, relaxing. Take a deep breath in. Hold it. Imagine any little specks of negativity. Keep being sucked into that breath of air through your body. Something you said to someone, something they said to you, something that's happened today. Blow it out across the room. Deep breath in. Any leftover negativity connecting to that breath. Anything that you remember from your childhood that's holding you back, blow it out across the room. One more time, deep breath in. Really deep, Fill up your lungs all the way in the bottom. Feel them just about ready to burst. Any little stubborn negativity gets sucked in. Blow it out across the room. Empty your lungs. Imagine it going into the purple flame of Saint Germain and just poof, it becomes this beautiful light that's returned to the universe. Now imagine holding your power gift and start to swing it around your body, creating a mirrored bubble all around you that only allows that which is of the highest and best to come in, brought by your spirit guides and guardian angels. Everything else is reflected back from whence it came. We wish it so, and therefore it is. When you're ready, slowly open your eyes. You can keep your eyes closed if you want while I'm talking to you. When you're ready, you can open them up. So our stories tonight are going to be about taking the mayhem in our lives and turning it into miracles. We have four fantastic stories for you, but from four authors in the Mayhem to Miracles book. Miriam Bin Salem was born in Tunisia, North Africa. Wow, and she's with us tonight. She was developmentally more advanced than the average child growing up. She walked and talked and sang and danced early. She spent 9 years working at a very high-level consultant and management position in technology, and also human resources and research, only to realize my perfectionism syndrome was damaging myself and those around me. So today, Miriam is a mentor with a passion for empowering others. And you can find her at her blogspot, unleashgreatness.blogspot.com. Who am I? So if you go to my website I was telling you about on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, her whole complete information is there, including all of her links. And you can just click on those links because they're hot there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Our second guest tonight is Jill Landry. And Jill Landry loves both science and creative pursuits. Jill has studied holistic health modalities, culinary arts, aerial arts, I got to ask her about that one, and movement sciences. She enjoys sharing with others through teaching and writing. And then we have Jill Lemon, just like a lemon you pick off of a tree. Jill Lemon, L-E-M-O-N. Judy. Huh?
Judy Lemon.
I'm sorry, Judy Lemon. See, I love live shows.
All those J's.
Correct me right away. Judy Lemon. We have two Jills and a Judy tonight. So Judy Lemon is a shamanic practitioner of the Rio Napo lineage in Peru. She is also a certified trauma therapist with a private practice in Southern California. She brings her extensive experience and knowledge into her work of helping others to develop their own spiritual gifts. You can find her at judylemon.com, and that's JudyLemon.com. And then we have Jill Ammon Vanderwood. Jill Ammon or Amon, I'm not sure.
Ammon.
Okay. Jill Ammon Vanderwood is an author and speaker from Idaho with 11 published books. Her most recent book, Off Target, is the winner of the Mom's Choice Award. And you can learn more about Jill. She's very interesting at jillvanderwood.com. And that's J-I-L-L. VanderWood.com. So let me tell you a little bit about Miriam Bin Salem's story titled The Unbirthday Gift Miracle. when Miriam decides to give up celebrating her birthday forever. It was by far the most adorable gift of her 36 years on earth. An unbirthday gift you can't buy, a gift engraved in your heart for a lifetime. It was a miracle. And she says, every time I was willing to give up, all I needed to do was remember I was doing it for the world. In those moments, my bravery grew. Welcome to the show, Miriam.
Well, thank you. I'm so honored to, like, beyond words, to be here and to be related in any way to all those miraculous women and men who contributed to this fabulous work and project. I mean, I can't even express how much gratitude I feel for this opportunity that I had. And being part of this is only showing to me that, yes, indeed, miracles are very real. We only need to believe in them with all our heart so that they can show up in our world and so that we can receive this light from the universe at some moment we never expected it to be true. I'm so very thrilled to be among you and among this show, this wonderful show. I had the honor to watch some of your sessions, previous sessions, and it's so wonderful to be here. Today.
I am so glad you're here with us. So I want to ask you, you wrote in your book, in the book Mayhem to Miracles, that you didn't learn to respect and enjoy yourself. So your relationships suffered. You expected others to mind read you. I found that profound. Expand on that a little bit for us, because that was part of your mayhem you were living with.
Sure. I mean, that was part of 34 years, most probably. And actually, it's part of what I call the imposter syndrome in a way. And my previous insecure attachment style that we call fearful avoidant individual. So basically, when we are raised in some dysfunctional family system, you know, like so many of our families around the globe, we need to find some coping mechanism to survive. And part of those are what I found was to really mind read people, to really develop my capacity to be very careful to their body language and mood swings so that I can, like, take the right action. And because I was so super, like, developed in this area, I was expecting wrongly, of course, the same thing from people. And when I don't get it, obviously, because people don't mind read you, I was feeling so frustrated and so misunderstood, because my expectations were actually so not real, so mm-hmm. not reachable. So that was kind of very, very, it was kind of my suffering, my daily suffering. My relationship were really not able to be profound and deep, mainly because I was not really expressing my needs. I was merely expecting people to understand themselves alone.
And that happens so often, you know, it's like you're annoyed with them because it's like, well, can't you figure out what it is I want, what it is I need? And actually, that's part of the mayhem I think a lot of us live with. And so we're going to come back and talk about how you work through that into your miracle. But first, I want to ask you, your English is incredible. What is your first language?
Well, thank you. So my first language is my Tunisian dialect, which is kind of Arabic, Berber, and French. It's kind of a mixture. Mm-hmm. And the second one is French, and the third one is English.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
How do we say mayhem to miracles in your native language?
Right. I didn't yet.
Okay.
I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry. Do you know how to say mayhem to miracles in your native language?
Sure. So it's, oh my goodness. That's really embarrassing.
Nothing like you on the spot, Miriam.
I need to think about it.
Think about it when we come back to talk about your miracle by then. Or you can do it in French. There may be a word that doesn't quite fit as mayhem, but is similar to mayhem in your native language. So Jill Landry, your story is titled Having Faith. And the story is written from the point of view of Faith, a 12-year-old German shepherd who for most of her life lived with her person in a small home. And Faith loved her person very much and watched over her. And they were very happy until the day her person dies. And Faith begins to wonder who will love and care for her and her dog sister Summer now. I love the story. If you're listening right now and you haven't grabbed your tissues yet, you may want to run and get them right now. So the quote is, and this is, Jill Landry's quote, but it may be from Faith. I saw with greater clarity a bigger purpose at play. So was Faith playing? So Jill, welcome to the show, and tell us what prompted you to write your story from this dog's point of view, because this is a point of view and this is something that is happening more than ever as people are dying from COVID, losing their homes from COVID, moving, getting relocated, and they can't take their animals with them. So I think that your story is extremely important. Why did you decide to write it from the dog's point of view, Faith?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking that. It's actually a really kind of interesting story. One that actually began 3 years ago, and I've really been living the story kind of since then. And I first initially wrote it from Faith's perspective, because it was an idea that just came to me, honestly. I wanted to submit a story. I had received the email from Sacred Stories regarding a publication and a call to submit stories. And I thought, gosh, what would I write about? And it just was like this moment of clarity to share Faith's story. And for some reason, I didn't decide to do it that way. It was just like, write it from Faith's perspective, and it just was there. I actually was traveling back with her from a trip we had taken, and I went home and wrote the story all in one afternoon.
And this story is profound. And just for our listening audience and our watching audience, this is a true story. When we were collecting stories for Mayhem to Miracles, Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, they had to be true stories. You couldn't make the stories up. So this is a true story.
And it is based on, I really consider Faith to be a co-author because it is based on a lot of, basically I adopted her at 10 years old. And I learned about her background from her medical records, but also people that worked at the shelter where she was first brought with Summer, as well as animal communication sessions. That I worked with animal communicators, and I also was learning animal communication. So there are some quotes in the story that are directly what I received from Faith in connecting with her through animal communication.
So when you were connecting with Faith, is that Faith I'm hearing in the background?
No, another dog. So.
Okay. So when you were connecting with Faith through animal communication, could you feel the depth of her despair at what had happened to her life? Here she was happy. She was with her loved people, her people. She was protecting, loving, and they died. And she and her sister are taken away and put into a shelter for adoption and separated. Could you feel that despair?
It's interesting that you say that, because since I never connected with her at that point in the story, that information was all from, the people that were around her at that time. And we actually, in early 2019, about a month before I wrote this story, we had reconnected with Summer's family, the family that adopted her, and sorry for the dogs barking in the background.
It's okay, this is a live show. Sometimes my cat jumps up here and pulls my earplug out. So it's okay.
So they're adding to it, I guess. But they when after we connected with Summer's family, I asked Faith, well, what did you think about that and seeing Summer? And she really told me that she was glad to know that she was loved and she was with her new family now. And it was the way it was supposed to be. So it was really just a sense of acceptance. And it was like, I'm here and this is where I'm needing to be now. And she's there. And I don't have to worry about her anymore. And this is how it is. So it was really just a surprise, you know, to me to hear that, you know, just that level of acceptance. But, you know,
that's part of the miracle. We need to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we are going to be continuing to speak with our authors. I'm Kat Canavis, and I am the host of Dreaming Healing. You are listening to DreamVision7RadioNetwork.com, and we will be right back.
Can diagnose your life. What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavis, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For over 40 years, Omega has seen more than 1 million people come through its doors to grow, learn, and find a greater sense of purpose. With over 350 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. Again, 877-944-2002.
Have you met your physician within yet? The Nautilus and multi-award-winning book, Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, is a memoir that takes you down the rabbit hole of healing dreams and interpretations, mixed with conventional medicine and treatments. Listen to the hookah-puffing caterpillar ask, "Who are you?" Dr. Bernie Siegel says Kathleen's story is powerful, honest, and eye-opening. Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing by three-time breast cancer survivor Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Buy the book and audio at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers.
Ever had a strange dream? Nautilus Award winner, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases by Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis and Duke University radiologist Dr. Larry Burke, forward by Dr. Bernie Siegel, shares how people like you self-advocated in the face of adversity and won using dreams. Read life-saving dream stories validated by medical reports. Hear how dreams of dead loved ones saved lives. Use interpretations and journaling as roadmaps in your waking world for health, wealth, and love. Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Buy the audio and book at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com in English and Italian worldwide and through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Dreaming Healing on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. I'm your host, Kat Cannabis, the Queen of Dreams. And we're speaking with four authors today from the book Mayhem to Miracles, Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope. And just before the break, we were speaking with Jill Landry about her dog, Faith. And the story in the book is written from Faith, the dog's point of view. And we had a whole bunch of animal barking in the background. So, you know, just so you know, we are all animal lovers here. And anytime they want to chime in, we consider it a blessing. So, Jill Lemon, welcome to the show.
Hey, Judy.
I'm sorry, Judy. Why do I have Judy here? Why do I keep calling you Jill? Judy Lennon, welcome so much to Dreaming Healing. Your story title is When Spirit Calls. And basically the synopsis of your story is how you find your husband is having an affair and your world crashes down. I know that many of our listeners and our watchers right now are going, oh my gosh, she's got my story. You and your husband had shared so much over the years. Now, starting with the email evidence on the screen, you're faced with a horrible realization that the only man you ever trusted to marry was cheating on you. Your dream life in London that you had manifested slammed abruptly into a wall, taking you along with it. It was all over. And your quote says, I thank spirit for pulling me out of a life that was not the one I came here for. So Judy, looking back, you know, did you see that there were interesting chats about particle physics and the structure of the universe, but you really couldn't talk about each other? And did you realize that at the time and just kind of push it back into the back of your mind? Or did it not become apparent until you saw the emails? Tell us what came first, the realization that you guys had really nothing in common other than, particle physics and the structure of the universe? Or was there something else?
You know, I think to correctly answer that, I'd have to say that I was a very different person back all of those years. And even though from a very early age, I listened to my inner guidance, I think part of our problem was living in England. We both really loved the pub culture and we used to drink a lot. And sometimes it got to a point where it was more than a lot. And when you start getting into that level of substance abuse, even though I can't say we were alcoholics or anything, but alcohol was such a big part of our life that it clouds your judgment and it clouds your vision.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I had gone to London with this big dream of being a rock star. That was the greatest dream that I had ever had, because I used to be a professional musician, but I wanted to be involved in the British music scene. So I didn't want to give up on that dream. I mean, and obviously I did love the person who was my ex-husband. I wouldn't have just married for the visa or whatever like that. And, you know, I think for the most part, we had a very good life. We had a very rich life. You know, we had a very nice flat in the West End. We traveled all over. London is a great base to travel from. But I think as I kept getting frustrated in my ambitions and things weren't coming to fruition, I kept hitting all these different walls. There was still a lot of alcohol. I think perhaps too that my ex possibly wanted a different kind of a woman, you know, like a more traditional person. I'm not, you know, and I told him when we decided to get engaged that, you know, my greatest love was music. I was trying to be a rock star. I didn't want to have children, you know, so if he wanted to be a father, I wouldn't be the right person. So I was very upfront, but, you know, we were much younger. So I think somewhere deep down, spirit was knocking me on the head going, what's going on here? And I certainly can't blame him. You know, I can't say this is all his fault. I'm just as much to blame. But again, like I said, I was a very different person. The poor guy got a very different version of me than I am now. So I think all of our forays into pub world, particle physics, the structure of space and time. We both were working on science degrees at the time in between, you know, I was also working on my pilot's license. I was very science oriented. And we had some great conversations, but now looking back, I realized they were almost like a diversion, because whenever I tried to touch on like, where are we going? It was hands off. It was a hot topic and we couldn't go there. So I think ultimately, you know, we were starting to look for different things. You know, we looked for our spirit in different places.
Interesting. So it's kind of like, and this happens often, like my husband and I have been married 40 years. And the people that got married 40 years ago are very different people from now. I wasn't an author then. I was teaching, and basically he made me an offer I couldn't refuse to stay home and travel with him. He'd pay me more than a teacher's salary, which isn't much. But we kind of grew together, because people will say, well, how did you stay together for 40 years? We grew together, and I'm not saying it was smooth sailing by any stretch of the imagination, but it sounds to me, Judy, like your relationships and your inner selves and your true selves and your evolving selves were diabolically different from the two people who had met.
Yeah, and this is something like I find with my shamanic groups and like a lot of the people who come to me for sessions, particularly if they're in a relationship, and let's say so many of them are women. Women are coming to develop their spiritual side. You know, they want like development or counseling, whatever. And their usually male partner isn't very supportive of that, because he's afraid that if they change, his style of life is going to change too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes if I was doing a shamanic gathering, the woman might actually show up wearing a business suit. And I would say, why are you dressed like that? You know, we're sitting on the floor tonight. Oh, my husband doesn't know where I am. He definitely would not be supportive of me doing this self-development work. He thinks I'm at a business conference. Mm-hmm. And there's so much of that. And oftentimes I find as the woman, her energy grows and she starts reaching more into her higher realms, their relationships do break up. And I think that's what happened with mine. I learned to meditate, hear the voice of my higher self, realize there was another world out there, but my ex wasn't interested in that. And, you know, fair enough, but I wanted to go down that path and he didn't. So you come to the fork in the road, and it's very common in, you know, spiritual and this kind of work that I do.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. And I remember when I was writing my book, before I started writing the series with Sacred Stories of Transformation, the Sacred Stories series, I was writing a book with Dr. Larry Burke on dreams that can save your life. And they were dreams that women had pointing to breast cancer. And by the way, there's Breast Cancer Month, pointing to breast cancer before they'd gone to the doctors. And they were sharing their stories in our book, and many of them changed their names. And many of them did not want their families to know that they were in that book, because it would have created a crisis within their family, because not everybody is as evolved as we are on this show today. And so that's okay. If you've got a family that's not open yet, it doesn't mean that they won't eventually open. And when they do, they'll see the new you. And I believe that there will be an even stronger bond. So Jillimon Vanderwood, I found your story so profound. I vacillated between crying and laughing so hard. I thought I was going to fall out of my chair with your story. It was just amazing. It just went back and forth so much. We're going to have to go to break in 4 minutes. So if I need to stop you in the middle of your story, know that we'll pick it up when we come back. So Jill Amon Vanderwood's story is titled Finding the Words to Change My Life. And Jill grew up in a very, very poor, very large family that moved often. And she was laughed at, spit at, tripped, and called hurtful names. It was hard for her to go to school because she was bullied every day by the boys in her classroom. Jill, your quote says, a miracle was beginning to happen in my life. And let's start, before we move to your miracle, I want to know that with your large family moving into this big empty house with no furniture and no school clothing, no shoes, no school supplies, and your mother was expecting her 10th baby. Tell us what you were thinking when you had to go to school that first day.
Well, I was thinking that everybody here knows each other. They've been in school together since kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And here I was moving from the country to the city. I didn't know the games they were playing. I was behind in my classes because we were learning at a different level.
And what grade was this, Jill?
That was the fifth grade.
Oh, my gosh. So the end of elementary school, you're getting ready to go into middle school.
Yeah, but we stayed in the same school until eighth grade. So I got to know people by then. But that year, they decided to pick on me. And I'm sure I was different and probably wore my hair differently and dressed differently. So there was a boy in the class named Ray, and he was the bully. And apparently he had bullied all the boys previously. So whatever he said, they went along with it because they were afraid to get on his bad side. Mm-hmm. It went on like that until there was a class election, and the girls in the class decided that I should be the president of the class. And there were more girls than boys, so they voted me in. I got up in front of the class to booing and jeering and name calling. And I just said, I resign, and went and sat down.
Oh my goodness. And then we're getting ready to come up onto a break, Jill, but there was a scene in the book in which you were wearing clothing that didn't fit, but you had to wear clothes to school. And when you stood up, so to do something happened to your underclothes. You want to tell us that really quick?
Well, it was my turn to speak in front of the class, give a report. And I forgot that I had unbuttoned the button in my skirt. And when I stood up, it fell all the way to the floor. But I had a slip on, which was lucky. But the weird thing was, I thought if everybody saw that, I would not be able to do this report. But I looked around and nobody was laughing. Apparently, I did pulled it up so fast that nobody even noticed.
I gotta hand it to you, Jill. That's amazing. And I understand what you were going through because as a military brat, I went to 5 different first grades. And I learned early, the quickest thing you can do is make friends, get your friends behind you, and they'll help you deal with the bullies. Don't go away. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Dreaming Healing on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. And I'm your host, Kat Cannabis, the Queen of Dreams. We'll be right back.
Every word you speak matters. What you say and how you say it can make or break a relationship or shift the outcome of any situation. Are your conversations making a difference? Faith in God, gratitude, authenticity, and giving are Teresa Velarde's heart. It's in this spirit that she's focused on making a difference in the lives she's blessed to touch. Conversations That Make a Difference is now on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Tuesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time, with live call-in shows every first and third Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern.
Darkest hours to brightest moments, transformation from despair to happiness, and chaos to clarity. Real people, real pain, real healing. Life-threatening illness, death, abusive relationships, divorce, and overcoming addiction are challenges these men and women faced head-on. See how they emerged stronger and happier. Buy the new book, Chaos to Clarity, Sacred Stories of Transformational Change by Reverend Patricia Caginello and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available on sacredstoriespublishing.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles, Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7RadioNetwork.com. I'm your host, Kat Cannabis, the Queen of Dreams. And today, we're speaking with 4 authors out of Mayhem to Miracles. And we were just speaking with Jill Vanderwood about moving from the country into the city with a huge, huge family and what she had to deal with as a new kid in school. And usually when I'm talking about something very, very spiritual, my phone will start taking down whatever I'm saying, and my phone is not on. So to our producer, Bob, you're now clicked off. So anyhow, we've all heard about the mayhem that these four authors went through in Mayhem to Miracles, Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope. And this is the third book in the Sacred Stories series. Do you guys have your books with you? If you've got your book beside you, feel free to hold it up so everybody can see. Wonderful. So let's go back. Let's go back to you, Miriam. I want to hear about your miracle, and we're in the third part of our show, so this is going to go very quickly. So we need to kind of keep our answers short. What was your miracle?
Okay, I'm going to try my best. To make it very quick, I was saved at the last moment by the grace of this universe when I was about to kill myself after having been abused very harshly by a malignant narcissist, which I wasn't aware of at the time, obviously. And it was so heartwarming, so magical, that without even putting my hand on my heart, I was feeling it beating so quickly, and I was having a flow of tears, and I was having an out of body experience, actually, where I was seeing all the lies of my life after that moment. And it was like as if the servant leader in me was dissociating to show me all this, like what I was not really, who I am. And I was also able to see a mission and a legacy to, like, all of us need to leave. And after a while, I was in a coffee shop and I was talking to a friend, a soul friend, about all what I went through. And there was a girl, and I was really decided not to celebrate my birthday since I was reborn. And I was really talking to my friend in complete transparency and with a lot of gratitude about what happened to me. And there was a girl. And before leaving, she came to me and she was in tears. And I was like, a little bit concerned about her. And I was like, are you okay? And she was, I'm so sorry. I heard your discussion without really willing to. And I just needed to tell you that I'm going through like some hard time right now, and hearing your story and how horrible it is, and the gratitude that you were talking to your friend, loving your friend, about this story has uplifted my spirit to some level that you cannot even imagine. I'm just really so grateful to you. And it was like so overwhelmed. I mean, like, oh my gosh, this universe has some plans. Even if I was decided not to celebrate this day, I have been granted the most memorable gift of my whole life. So
What a beautiful miracle, you know, sharing. Sort of like what we did, sharing the stories in this book. Miriam was sharing her story. Someone overheard it, and the miracle was she not only saved herself, but she saved somebody else. Thank you for sharing that, Miriam. It's so profound. Jill Landry, tell us what your miracle was.
My miracle was being able to see a bigger perspective, and like you said, the quote from the story, a bigger purpose at play after going through the process of a chronic degenerative illness with Faith and becoming her full-time caregiver. And then the second part of the story really talks about the grief process that I went through after she passed in November of 2019. And there were some things that I discovered in the process of really embracing grief that helped me to have a new perspective on the loss and the process that I was going through. And I had this moment actually just earlier this year, about a month before finishing this story was that I could see how all the events, you know, and even Faith's passing and everything that had led up to that, as well as other losses I had, had really brought me to a new point in my life, and I could embrace that in a way that I hadn't been able to before, and really started to understand that there could be a deeper meaning and purpose and richness in my life because of the, you know, of the loss and the grief process I had gone through. And I never thought that I would see it like that. And I'm not grateful for it. I miss her terribly, but just to be able to see the impact that, you know, that's had on my life. And I think that's really been my miracle, and continuing to have faith.
You know, I love that you named her Faith. She gave you faith, and she's just over that rainbow ridge into the other world. But I think animals enrich our lives so much. And I always say, if you don't have fur on your clothes, you're not really a human. I don't walk out of the house without fur on my clothes. People will start picking it off of me. And it's like, yeah, I'm wearing my black today, but that's the way it is. Judy Lemon. Tell, and I got your name right this time, Judy Lemon.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, Judy, tell us about your miracle.
You know, I don't think I realized my miracle until a few years ago. Part of what I went through and what a lot of my clients go through, we go into these depressive pits. These events that, you know, all of us have shared in our lives. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we're like, why did this happen to me? Why is this happening? You know, I don't understand this. And oftentimes we don't see that until much later. Mm-hmm. And I think over the years, as I've gone on through my jungle adventures and built up my business, and I've realized how much I love what I'm doing, and that everything that I had done before was actually grooming me to be who I am now, and that I couldn't have done it while I was married to my ex, just for, you know, various reasons. I don't think he would have accepted the strange lifestyle I live or whatever. So I had to be yanked out of there in order to do what I am now. And I think in the recent past, when I realized the universe actually set everything up like a bunch of dominoes, and everything went according to plan. And now I look back and I just laugh, because it seemed like it was so miserable at the time, but right now it's so miraculous that all now, every day I wake up and I say, thank you.
Thank you, God, making that split happen. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Judy. I'm sorry, Jill Vanderwood, tell us your miracle. I mean, after something like that, was there a miracle? What was it?
Okay. Because of the things that happened in the fifth grade, I made a vow that I would never speak up. I would never cause anything that would cause attention to myself. So I went through life like that, through high school and through even getting married and having kids. I never spoke up. And so because I didn't have any communication skills, I started to write. I wrote down my thoughts. I wrote journals. And then when I had grandchildren, I started writing stories for them and putting their names in them. And then I decided to take some writing classes. And then I went on like that. And I was in my 50s before I published my first book. And right after that book came out, I volunteered to do some classes for the League of Utah Writers.
And that book, because I'm going to toot your horn because I know you're not going to toot it, that book won a big award. What was it?
The last book I wrote won the Mom's Choice Award. And that's a book about gun safety, where kids find a gun and what do they do? And there's 13 possible endings. So they can see and feel what it was like if they held a gun in their hand and what could happen.
So all of these stories are right here in Mayhem to Miracles. Jill Vanderwood has her story in here about how she went from being afraid to speak up and being bullied to being an award-winning author. Mm-hmm. Miriam talks about how somebody overhearing her story, you know, we're told, oh, don't eavesdrop, oh, be quiet, don't let people hear about what you're doing. But sometimes what you need to do is speak up to help someone else. Judy realized the way she was when she first met her husband was not the way she evolved, and they didn't evolve together. So it was a painful break, but a break that was necessary. And Jill talks about how adopting this dog was one of the best things that could have ever happened to her in her life. So this book, Mayhem to Miracles, Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, is on Amazon right now. Get it as a gift for your family, for your friends, for Christmas, after Christmas, holidays, birthdays, and just because you love them. So yes, miracles are real. And the book Mayhem to Miracles, Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope proves it. The stories in these books are real. Hope is the shining beacon that can change the course of illness, the future, love in our lives. Miracles go hand in hand with hope. So join us again next time for more great stories of miracle and more inspiring individuals, about more inspiring individuals that move through their mayhem into their miracles. Thank you, ladies, for being on the show with us. And until next time, remember, everybody dreams, but some dreams save lives. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening. And a big thanks to our producer. Tune in next time to Dreaming Healing for more cutting-edge research, live dream interpretations, and stories with radio host and award-winning author, Kat O'Keefe Canavas. Listen every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time with call-in live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Remember, everyone dreams, but some dreams save lives. Live your dreams. Find more about Kat at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com. That's Kathleen with a K. O'KeefeCannavos. Or the Queen of Dreams on Google search.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.